Carl Boyer cruised into his driveway and parked the Oldsmobile. At 81, he was happy to still be driving. His eyesight was amazingly good, and his coordination, though slow, seemed adequate enough for the state to renew his license. He ambled out to the street and checked the curbside mailbox. The evening was unusually warm for May, good for his arthritic joints. He walked back toward the house and noticed that the wooden eaves needed painting. He sold his original acreage 24 years ago, garnering enough to pay cash for a new house. His cherished wife, Maya, died 2 years after the house was completed. Cancer claimed her fast. He hardly had time to say goodbye. Rachel was 14 and brave. He was 57 and scared to death. The prospect of growing old alone had frightened him. But Rachel had always stayed nearby. He was lucky to have such a good daughter. His only child. He trudged into the house and was there only a few minutes when the back door burst open and his two grandchildren rushed into the kitchen. They never knocked, and he never locked the door. Brent was 7, Marla 6. Both hugged him. Rachel followed them inside.
"Grandpa, Grandpa, where's Lucy?" Marla asked.
"Asleep in the den. Where else?"
The stray had wandered into the backyard 4 years ago and never left. The children bolted to the front of the house. Rachel yanked open the refrigerator and found a pitcher of tea.
"You got a little emotional in court."
"I know I say too much, but I thought of Papa. I wish you knew him. A czarist, loyal to end. Hated communists."
He paused.
"I was thinking, I have no photo of him."
"But you have his name again."
"And for that, I thank you, my darling. Did you learn where was Paul?"
"My clerk checked. He was tied up in probate court and couldn't make it."
"How is he doing?"
She sipped her tea.
"Okay, I guess."
He studied his daughter. She was so much like her mother. Pearl-white skin, frilly auburn hair, perceptive brown eyes that cast the prepossessing look of a woman in charge. And smart. Maybe too smart for her own good.
"How are you doing?" he asked.
"I get by. I always do."
"Still no suitors?"
He knew of no men in the 3 years since the divorce. "Like I have time. All I do is work and tend those two in there. Not to mention you." He had to say it.
"I worry about you."
"No need." She moved to the sink and rinsed her glass. He decided not to press and reached over and flicked on the counter television. The station was still set to CNN headline news from the morning. Rachel dried her hands with the dish towel. "Paul will be by about 7 to get the kids. He'll bring them home."
"Where are you going?"
"Fundraiser for the campaign. Going to be a tough summer, and I'm not looking forward to it." He focused on the television and saw mountain ranges, steep inclines, and rocky crags. The sight was instantly familiar. A caption at the bottom left read, "Stott, Germany." He turned up the volume. "Millionaire contractor Wayland McCoy thinks this area in central Germany may still harbor Nazi treasure. His expedition begins next week into the Harz Mountains of what was once East Germany. These sites have only recently become accessible thanks to the fall of communism and the reunification of East and West Germany." The image switched to a tight view of caves and forested inclines. "It's believed that in the final days of World War II, Nazi loot was hastily stashed inside hundreds of tunnels crisscrossing these ancient mountains. Some were also used as ammunition dumps, which complicates the search, making the venture even more hazardous. In fact, more than 24 people have lost their lives in this area since World War II, trying to locate treasure. Rachel came close and kissed him on the cheek. I have to go. He turned from the television. Paul, be here at 7. She nodded and headed for the door. He immediately returned his attention to the television.